might already know my guest today, but if you don't, then it'll be my pleasure to introduce you. Alexis Hilliard is host and creator of Stump Kitchen, a YouTube show dedicated to body diversity and limb difference. Through Stump Kitchen, Alexis shows the amazing ways she uses her body and her stump through various techniques. Her show is so authentic, but also filled with a pretty healthy dose of imperfection and, like, messing up. But most of all, it's just about having fun together. My name is Andrea Weeb, and it's a late April day here in Edmonton. There's some snow falling on the ground, and I'm just about to go over to Alexis's house to make a recipe together. So let's go say hi.
Hey, hi. How's it going?
Good, how are you? Come on in.
Alexis invited me over to make some food together. She doesn't know very much about my cooking abilities yet. I think she didn't even ask. But I wonder if that's really going to matter.
Just so you know, I have this microplaner, I have this pasta, and I have this.
I asked her to tell me a little bit about Stump Kitchen.
Yeah, it's a YouTube show all about body diversity and vegan and gluten-free cooking. And I was born without my left hand, and I call my arm my stump, and I use it as a kitchen tool. So, like, a spatula, a juicer, a potato masher, and it's so much fun.
Will we be able to get a little bit of a taste of the different ways that you use your stump in this recipe?
Yeah, let's do that. That would be amazing. Definitely, yeah.
Sounds good. Can you tell us a little bit about the recipe?
Definitely. So we're going to make real quick and easy vegan, gluten-free mac and cheese. I love making my sauce from scratch. So we're going to get in there. It's only about 6 ingredients, super quick, and lots of fun stump techniques along the way.
All right, what do we want to start with?
Okay, so the first thing we have to do is we have to boil some water to cook the pasta. So let's do that. So grab your pot. We'll fill that up. That's probably good. In the meantime, we're going to make the sauce, which is so much fun. So the first thing I like to do is grate a bunch of garlic, because I don't know about you, but like, mac and cheese to me, when it has garlic in it, it's just so good. Do you like garlic?
100%.
Okay, great. We're going to smell a lot like garlic together. Are you cool with that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm going to get the garlic right here. Garlic is one of my favorite things to do. Usually when I cook with garlic, I'll grab some and I'll kind of like mush it around in my stump in my hand to get the outside edges off, all the little peels, just to make it easier to cut. Oh, there's one
there
that
we go.
Popped up for us. We'll take that. And I grab my knife, and I just like to like cut off one of the little butts. There we go. And then I smash it down with my stump. Give it a nice smash like that, just awesome. To get all of the skin off, like so. Now, when I, like, you can cut your garlic, but I love using a microplaner, and it just, it has this beautiful, nice sound to it. Mm. I just love it so much. So I'm going to take my garlic cloves and just grate them, microplane them like this. And you can use a regular grater, but a microplaner is so nice. Okay. Nice.
All right,
yeah. We're getting really serious and quiet here. We're very happy right now.
Aromatic.
It's very aromatic, yes.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to take our garlic. And we'll put it in this tiny little pot. And what I'm going to do is turn on the heat so it's like maybe like medium high to cook that up. And we're going to grab some olive oil. Olive oil is so nice because it has like a really earthy kind of fatty flavor to it, and it's like really, you can just taste it right But if you don't want to taste your oil, you can use grapeseed oil. But in this recipe, you want to, like, taste your fatty oil. So we're going to use olive oil. So this technique, it's one of my favorite stump techniques. I call it the chicken wing technique. So if I'm, you know, using my right hand, I'll take the thing I'm pouring, stick it under my left arm, my stump, hold it like a little chicken wing, and then I'll pour like this. So kind of like put my body over and pour it like that. Okay, so we're going to let that cook. And then while that's cooking, I'll grab our other ingredients.
Perfect. I was just going to ask you about some of these techniques that you've developed. Have you figured them out on your own, or have you also learned them from other people?
That's a great question. I think mostly myself, but because, you know, when I'm cooking alone in my kitchen, I'll just kind of figure out ways to do stuff, especially in my daily life when I'm doing daily tasks too. But I think since starting the show and having a lot of people with limb differences on my show with me, I feel like my one-handed doing stuff journey has, like, exponentially grown because I'm learning from other people right with me on the show and from being connected with other people with limb differences too. So my life has been opened up to, like, how other people with one hand do stuff, not just, like, my own way of doing stuff. So it's been a beautiful, like, learning and sharing tool to be able to, like, yeah, just, like, share techniques and learn from each other and be like, oh, there's, like, a billion different ways to do this one thing with one hand, not just my way.
Yeah, totally. And can you tell me some of the limb differences that you've come across with people on your show?
Absolutely. A lot of people I have are kids, so, like, my friends' kids, for example, or just, like, people that have found me on Facebook, a lot of kids who are missing a hand, who are born that way. I have lots of friends who are missing an arm. I've cooked with a bunch of folks who are leg amputees, either by birth or through limb loss later in life, through amputation. It's just been incredible. Like, I've learned so much about, like, the diversity and the range of, like, how many limbs people have and don't have. It's just been great. It's been so good. And actually, our water's boiling, so now it's time to put the pasta in.
The pasta.
The pasta. Oh, and our garlic is burning. Look at that. It's not burning. It's doing a nice browning.
It's thing. Browning. It's browning.
Browning. All right, so the garlic is browning in this oil. Oh, that's a good sound. That's a really good sound. So now once the garlic and oil has kind of, like, done this, I'm going to grab some arrowroot starch. Here. All right. So we're going to put that into our oil and garlic mixture. Sizzle time.
I noticed that you don't use measuring cups.
Yeah, I just, like, you know, A, they're probably all dirty right now, and B, I don't like to dirty more dishes if I don't have to, and C, I just like to follow my heart, you know? Like, it's, yeah, it can be scary, but it's so much fun to just be like, yeah, you know, this was maybe a tablespoon. I'm not really sure. Do you make mac and cheese often? Like, do you ever make it from scratch?
I'm not a big cook, to be honest. Oh. This is why I'm asking. It's for my own benefit.
I love it. Well, you'll have to come on the show. Oh, I love cooking with amateurs because, like, I'm an amateur at heart. Like, I just have experience, but I'm not a good cook. Like, yeah. I just have fun doing it, and I love it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what Stump Kitchen is about, actually. I do a lot of dropping stuff, a lot of, like, you know, it's not pretty, and I'm just kind of trying it and just, like, going with it. And I think that's maybe one of the things about the show that people kind of grab onto. They're like, hey, you know what, if you can do it, maybe I can do it too.
So at this point in time, Stump Kitchen has over 3,000 subscribers on YouTube and has gained fans from all around the world.
It's very good. All right, we're gonna add some milk. Oh yeah, yum yum yum.
About 2 years ago, Alexis was found by the Lucky Finn Project and became the first Canadian ambassador for the organization, which is dedicated to limb difference, awareness, and celebration in the United States.
Gluten-free pasta, I find.
She often has kids on her show, and one of her recurring guests is Callie.
Them.
So through these quick cliffs, we're like inundated with sights and sound, and like Alexis's own sense of humor, just poking fun at herself all the time.
The little tiny cabbages.
You can peel off some of the outer layers that are a bit brown. You're nailing it!
But in between, there's these little tender moments that just kind of manage to weave themselves in as well.
How'd you lose your arm, Callie?
A shark bit it off.
Me too! Just kidding. It was a kitchen accident.
We were born like this.
We were born like this. We can't fool you for too long. This is how we were made.
About 2 years ago, CBC approached Alexis to produce videos for their CBC Kids program.
It's amazing. Yeah, so CBC reached out to me 2 years ago, and they do this thing where they highlight up-and-coming creators in Canada, and they ask you to do videos for them. And it was a super big honor. And what I like about working with CBC is it's not all about like, hey, look at this cooking show featuring this girl with one hand and kids with one hand. Like, it's just about the food and the recipe and the fun with the kids. And then the limb different stuff is secondary, which I think is so important for representation of diversity in the media. Like, it can't be this tokenistic thing. It's got to be like just part of who they are, you know. And like, if that kid notices, hey, like that woman has an arm like me or whatever, it can be so empowering and really, really cool. So yeah, it's been a beautiful experience.
Yeah, and have you had response from people who don't necessarily have limb difference as well, just learning about limb difference?
Absolutely.
Oh, that is very good. Sorry, I just tasted the sauce and I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm just having a little taste here. Pardon me, everyone. I put a little too much salt in, but you know what? It's the morning. It's fine. It's good. It's going to be great. Oh, okay, let's drain this pasta and then I'll answer your question.
Yeah, no problem. We are making a dish after all. Yeah. We don't want to interrupt the process.
Okay, so this dump technique, I'm taking the strainer and I'm holding it with my stump and I'm holding it against my hip. It's a nice way to hold stuff. And then I'm putting it in the sink. Is this going to be loud?
It's almost like a laundry basket kind of hold.
That's right. That's how I'm holding it, like a laundry basket. I find, like, when you are cooking with a limb difference, for me, particularly with one hand, you use so much more of your body than you imagine. Like, I use my neck, I use my shoulder, my elbow crook, my hips, sometimes my legs. Like, I will, if I have my hands or my limbs full, I'll use my foot to, like, close doors or pull out a chair.
I saw you use your teeth, too, to open the package. Yeah. Is that pretty?
Oh, yeah, teeth, like, all of it. You name it. Yeah. We've drained our pasta, and now we're going to grab our sauce, our extra salty, delicious sauce, and we're going to pour it in, like so. Okay, we're just mixing that sauce in to incorporate all of the good times, like so.
All the good times in one bowl.
All the good times in one bowl. Mm-hmm. All right, now is the time. Now is the time. We're going to taste this. We're going to blow on it. And then we're going to taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, damn. That is good. Oh, that is good. Whew, yes, okay. Would you like to try? Do you want me to feed you?
Because I
want to
be fed.
Okay, okay, good.
Yum, yum, yum.
So, I put too much salt in, but otherwise it's really
No, good. No, it's so good. It's so good. It's so yummy.
I'm so glad.
Okay, we did it. I forget what questions you asked.
I asked you what kind of response that you get from people that don't necessarily have a limb difference or might not know that much about it,
right,
with your show.
Absolutely. Beautiful and incredible responses. I think that they appreciate that there's a lot of ways into the show. So, yes, it features limb difference, and yes, it's about vegan and gluten-free cooking. But I think outside of that, I don't really wear makeup, or I cook a lot of the times when I first get out of bed. I'm wearing sweatpants. I don't wear a bra a lot of the times, and sometimes I swear, you know, and I bleep it out for the kids or whatever. But like, I think that there's multiple ways in, like the non-perfectionist side, The queerness of it too. I often feature my partner Allison, so that's really nice to have like positive queer representation in the media. So that's an interesting question you ask, because I don't actually really know, but what I think is that because there's all these multiple ways into the show, people find their place in it and can appreciate it from multiple angles. Mm-hmm. And then the limb difference part is like icing on the cake. It's just like, oh, cool.
How do you choose your guests?
So it's a lot of happenstance. It's a lot of just like, you know, you and I are sitting here chatting, and I'm just like thinking like, oh, it'd be fun to cook with you. So I'll just ask you, right? Like, mm-hmm. I do that. Like, I just kind of follow my heart. And if I'm really enjoying someone's company or I want to get to know them better, I'll ask them to cook with me on my show, because I have them for like 1 or 2 hours. And what we're doing is like creating a fun meal together. We're sharing stories. We're laughing. And then the last way is people just find me on Facebook. So a lot of parents will see my videos on CBC or through YouTube or Facebook, and their kid might have a limb difference, and they'll just send me a message like, hey, my kid is like you. Can they cook with you? Mm-hmm. So I found a lot of people just through parents advocating for their kids.
Mm-hmm. What about like building skills in order to do your filming and all these kind of hard skills that you need in order to be able to do what you do?
That's a good question, too. So I'm, I had no idea. Not only did I barely know how to cook, I did not know how to film and edit. Like, I had no idea. I would film on my phone because I didn't know any other way. Mm-hmm. And if you look at my first few videos, you really can see the progression, because, like, it's just, they're just so bad. But they're so good, but they're just so bad. And I would sit in the library, and I would just, like, I would import the files after learning how to do that, and then just like playing around with different controls and buttons and just like listening and just exploring what I could do. So I was literally learning as I went. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful exponential learning growth and learning curve, because not only was I learning how to edit and film, but also like learning how to speak to a camera and like how to cook while talking and how to create the lighting and like... It's looking back on it, it's so funny to figure out what I was learning by trial and error. So like, don't film at 9 a.m. or 5 p.m. because it's gonna have way more background noise that you can't remove. Mm-hmm. Same with lighting. Like, oh my gosh, like I learned to take house lamps and put them in a little horseshoe around me to do multi-directional lighting, so I wasn't creating shadows. And that was just through trial and error. Huh. And then when I realized, you know, I would go on online and see how other YouTubes did stuff, and it was all the same. Like, there's so much DIY culture out there on YouTube and in video creation, and it is so inspiring just to be like, yeah, you don't need expensive stuff to do this work. You can just do whatever. And
yeah, you just went to a conference right down south in the States. Was it in Vegas?
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Yeah, it was really, really cool. It's this conference called Clexicon, and it's featuring women and LGBTQ, queer and trans folks in the media. So a lot of like TV people, a lot of like YouTubers, content creators, etc. And it was just lovely. Everyone was like so, I don't know, really receptive. And it was beautiful to be in a space where you are not in the minority, you know, like as a queer person, as a person with a visible disability. And it was just like, these are my people. It was so great. And yeah, I think I want to go back. It was a really great venue for, you know, presenting representation in the media and talking about those issues. Plus, there's like a pool party every day. Like, so good.
Was there like just one little tidbit that you took away, like, or an experience or something?
I think one of the most beautiful things that really enlivened me was just the fact that so many people are existing and living these incredible, diverse, and complex lives who are also doing similar things like content creation and have a lot of the same journeys. And, like, you're not alone. Like, I think when you are a video creator or on YouTube or whatever, it's extremely isolating, even though appearance-wise, like on the show and on social media, it looks very different. It looks like, you know, you're always with people, you're creating, you're having all this fun, but really that's just like a small percentage. The rest is like very solitary editing work. Like, sometimes I don't leave the house for days and I'm just like in the same pair of sweatpants just like editing. Like, it's very solitary. Mm-hmm. So I think to be in this community of people where a lot of them are doing similar work and having just being in a physical space and not being by myself, and talking a bit about creative ideas. It was just, I don't know, it was like the kind of like lifeblood I needed to be like, yeah, you can do, keep going, yeah, you know. It was just really cool.
And do you feel like you have a pretty active relationship with your viewers? Like you said, it's a little bit isolating. You get comments on the comments page, but I'm wondering if you get that connection.
That's a really good question too. And yes, like obviously not everyone, because not everyone comments, so you don't really know who's watching your videos, but of the people that comment and engage on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, etc., because I'm not a huge YouTuber, I have the capacity to respond to almost everyone that makes a comment on my pages. And yeah, it takes time, but it's so nice to be able to respond or to reach out or to ask questions. And it's funny, like Instagram especially has been really cool. I have two people in particular that I can think of that I've developed Instagram friendships with. One is from, I think, Arizona, and the other one's from San Francisco. And now we're at the point where we're just like, hey, how's your day going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like just through social media, just through what we're doing and appreciating their art and vice versa. I have one person who has been, you know, a watcher and a fan of Stump Kitchen since the beginning. And we've developed a very close relationship, and he's actually struggling with a disorder called BIID.
Just to let you know, BIID is Body Integrity Identity Disorder.
It's very, very rare, but it's this thing where someone is born and they don't identify with one of their limbs, and they really, really desire to have that limb removed. And there's not a lot of information about it. There's not a lot of medical support. It's very, very unknown. And so he reached out, and it's been really cool. Like I've become his biggest cheerleader, like so he can kind of like, you know, pretend that he has, you know, missing, like pretend that he's got only one foot, etc. Like for everyone it's different with that disorder, like maybe it's a hand, maybe it's a leg or whatever. But I was the first person he told. And so getting that information out has been very, very life-changing for him. Now he's talking to his doctors, he's talking to his psychologist, just, you know, how can he manage this and get through this. And yeah, it's been a really beautiful relationship. So I guess you never know who you're going to connect with and who and how and why. And he must have just saw me as like this safe person who understands limb difference a little bit differently that might understand him, and it worked out.
And do you think there's experiences that you've had in your life that have prepared you to hold space for someone like that?
I think so. I think that I had a really lovely family growing up. They were extremely accepting and inclusive, and they really prepared me to enter into the world as someone who looks quite different, with the verbal ability to answer questions and to talk about myself. And my sister loved my stump when I was little, and I would put on little shows for her, and she named him Bebe, so he has a name and a personality. I'd put on little, yeah, puppet shows and play and games for her and little plays. And so I think that experience, that self-love, that like really outward appreciation and just like, yeah, this is a great part of you, instilled this love for myself that I was able to carry through into my adult life. And then somehow that turned into maybe like a bigger empathy or ability to look at someone for all of them and to not be judgmental or scared or worried or whatever. I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I just feel like something about my experiences growing up with a limb difference and also being gay, I think that contributes as well, has really opened my heart up more. Like it's really cracked it open a lot wider to see all of where someone's coming from, perhaps, versus being very close-minded and just I think it's enhanced my empathy. And actually, when I talk to other people with limb differences about that specific question, they really share that thought that, like, you know, being visibly different has done something to their psyche where they're able to exist and be with humanity in this more open way. So I think it's kind of a beautiful thing, you know? It's really cool.
Just having some tears.
No, that's wonderful. Yeah.
I guess you did talk a little bit about your own journey with your sister and that growing up, but I just wanted to know if you wanted to share any more about your own journey to self-love, self-acceptance, and so on.
So, I have two experiences that I think are really beautiful in relation to my limb difference. The first is, now that I'm, in my 30s, I won't say where in my 30s. Actually, I will. Screw that. Whatever. I'm 37. And a lot of my friends have had kids or have babies. And I like to hold the babies. And I realized early on that babies love to use my stump as a teething tool or like as a soother. So I have, it's very soft on the end, but also like there's a lot of bone, and so it's good for them to teeth on, but also to suck on like a soother. And so obviously I like make sure my limbs are clean, but like every baby I hold, they will teeth on my stump, and they'll fall asleep in my arms. It's like this built-in soother that is so beautiful. And babies, they don't have any judgment. They're just like, yes, please, I would like this in my mouth right now. And it's so lovely. So that's been a beautiful experience with like just, I don't know, just loving myself, my body even more. And the second thing is my partner and I found this great place in town where you can go feed the chickadees, just like in White Mud. And I put some seeds on my stump, like in a little row. And it took them like not even a second glance. They were just like, oh, hello, here we are. And they would just fly up and just like perch on my stump and eat the seeds. Like they didn't care that it wasn't like a hand. They were just like, oh yeah, there's some seeds for me, here we go. And I have a beautiful picture that I captured that moment on my Instagram page. And it's like, people loved it. They thought it was so, so beautiful. But to me too, it was just nature's way of saying like, I love you for who you are, as long as you give me seeds. So it's just those little things. I don't know, like, because you have lots of days where people, you know, every day someone stares at me, every single day. You can't escape it. It just is what it is, right? And once in a while you get a really bad reaction where people, you know, someone might be scared or they might say something really crappy like, oh, I'm so sorry, or like, I'll pray for you, or must be very hard to find a husband. Like, oh, this kind of crap that I get. And so it's those experiences that really kind of, yeah, just add more light to my day and help me to, like, brush those other things off that kind of get annoying. So, yeah, to say the least.
To put it simply.
Absolutely.
Do you have any advice for people thinking of creating content as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So my biggest advice is just start. The biggest piece of advice is if you're thinking about it and if it feels good in your heart, do it. If folks have questions, I love talking to people, so they can just reach out and we can chat about what they might want to do and where to start. But yeah, just start. Do it. Just do it. Do it. This was really fun. I can't believe that we got to make an entire mac and cheese and have some good laughs and tears. So this was a great experience. Thank you. All in the day of the light of some kitchen. It's great.
My name is Andrea Weeb, and you've been listening to my afternoon of lovely good times with Stump Kitchen's very own Alexis Hilliard. If you'd like to get in touch with Alexis, you can find her on YouTube and search Stump Kitchen, or you can also find her on Instagram at stump_kitchen. This piece was produced as part of Access Day at CITR radio station in Vancouver, British Columbia. The music you heard was J.30 by The Black Ant and What I Know by J. Chris. I'd like to thank Alexis Hilliard for having me over and chatting with me. And also, I'd like to thank Megan Miller, our amazing news coordinator at CJSR radio station in Edmonton, for her help with the edits for this piece. And that's about it for this show. See you next time.